it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get a little more feedback on 24 years after 9/11. I mentioned the awful extremism which was used to attack us, a perverted view of their faith, and that extremism going after us, and all the extremism that's all throughout our country right now, and what an epic failure that is. And just your thoughts, what first comes to mind either on that day or about what has happened since, among the texts, and would love more, 651-461-9226. Think about the cost of all the security and the related cost in total dollars. That did hurt us a great deal. There's no denying that, Dave. It is a staggering figure.
Saw a story.
When you think about, I mean, the money that we spent, not just on air travel, but in so many other areas because of what happened that morning of September 11th.
There was a story just earlier this week about how just preventing school shootings has become a $4 billion industry,
yeah,
and that number's
right.
Not going down.
No, no. And that pales in comparison to the true amount of money we've spent in relation to 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 9/11, I'm always going to think of in the days after, the family members who are holding up a sign, often with a picture of a loved one, hoping really for a miracle. Have you seen my wife, my husband, my boyfriend, my coworker, and how some of those folks, Dave, just went down to that site, to the Trade Center, and just went there day after day after day, hoping somehow someone would appear. And there were those very rare occasions when that took place, but that hardly ever happened. And you can't fault a soul for wanting to see someone. It was just impossible considering the force of both buildings coming down.
Yeah, and then just the shock and grief of somebody that you know, knows probably in their heart that their loved one was in that building. But you can't fault hope.
What else stands out to you when you think about 24 years after 9/11?
The day of, I was a senior in high school, just starting my senior year. So, I mean, it was a day of what in the world is going on? And just to me, being awakened out of, you know, that kind of school age naivete I still had of, wow, there's people that really hate America out there. I had probably heard of Al-Qaeda, but didn't really know much about it. And, you know, just losing a lot of... A lot of being just a child at that point in that day, as you know, I couldn't take my eyes off the coverage and the absolute horrors of seeing people, you know, jumping out of the buildings and all the things that we've seen that day and in the last 24 years. And then, and fast forwarding today, you talked about the extremism. How many times did we hear and discuss the term, you know, Islamic extremism? That's what caused these, you know, that's mm-hmm. what Al-Qaeda is all about.
War on terror, right?
Yes, exactly. And man, we've just brought extremism home. We've done it in 24 years.
Yeah.
And,
right.
You know, at that point, right after 9/11, we feared for our safety because of attacks coming from outside our borders. We feared for more terrorism, whether it was hijacking planes, bombing, whatever it is, you know, things that struck, you know, in Europe, certainly, with plenty of acts of violence there.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
And we're just... You know, are we safer now because instead of, you know, or because we've been able to you know, block attacks or, you know, mitigate a sorts of terrorism coming from outside our borders. But now we've just traded that for what's happening inside our own country with our very own people. Are we any safer? I don't know.
Among the texts, and I appreciate those coming in, 651-461-9226. In the months following 9/11, no one was a Democrat. No one was a Republican. No one was black. No one was white. We're all simply Americans working together. That is 1,000% correct, and it went away way too quickly. You know, you think of those moments that were both symbolic, Dave, and meaningful involving the president of the time, George W. Bush.
How could you not think of him with the bullhorn at Ground Zero?
100%. Exactly. That's where I was going first.
They're going to hear from all of us soon. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. With the one gentleman right next to him.
Yeah.
Right? And that is where W, as well known as he was throughout his life, seemed to be very at ease around people and fit that moment. He fit the moment at the ballgame. He just did.
Mm-hmm.
At Yankee Stadium, of all places, when he goes out there, and I know it's just a minor point, but I think the country was saying, yeah, that's our guy who just threw that strike right there.
Yep.
And then to me, by far, his greatest speech ever was to Congress a few weeks later. And he met the moment. He 1,000% met the moment. And there was just a lot of a lot of debate on what we should do before the divide, right? And I do think for the first month or two, this country was willing to do more. And I wish we would have come up with more collective things that we could have done to try to stay together more. Because what was it, about a month later or so, with the invasion of Afghanistan, and there was, I don't want to say unity, we're a country of well over 300 million, but that seemed to make sense. That's where Al-Qaeda was. This is where this country's harboring bin Laden. Let's go there. But then the push became from the neocons to lie and try to tie Osama bin Laden to Iraq. There was zero connection. None. Zero. Zilch. This was a lot of those folks from Wolfowitz, from Rumsfeld, from Cheney, who were mad at George H.W. Bush for not taking out Saddam Hussein. And we quickly pivoted there. And I know there still will always be a perpetual debate, Dave, on the intelligence, because I talked about in the first segment how outstanding the intelligence has been to prevent further attacks. And there are still W opponents, and it wasn't like I loved every decision W made. To be clear, I did not. But there are still many people believe that the evidence was cooked. They were just flat out lying. Well, if they were lying, so was Tony Blair. If they were lying, so was Bill Clinton. So was Hillary Clinton. So was John Kerry. So were numerous Democrats and other people across the planet who believe that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. But what he did not have was any tie to 9/11. And that added to the splinter. Then the very casual way the overall shock and awe plans were great. But then our lack of understanding of the Sunnis and the Shias, and Dick Cheney out with Tim Russert at one point said they're going to greet us as liberators and mission accomplished. And what an absolute quagmire that became. And we just lost that uniformity so fast. And that's why so often at the fan and then here for so long, I said the next attack, I just didn't buy that we would stay together very long. And you know the next major attack? It was COVID. And how long, Dave, did we stay together on COVID before we were finger pointing? And now it's turned into an entire thing of, well, where the commander chief who was behind Operation Warp Speed, where he wants a Nobel Peace Prize. I mean, he wants a Nobel Peace Prize for winning 17 club championships. Just give him the Nobel Peace Prize so we can move on, by the way. But that was a remarkable accomplishment. And then because the vaccines did not live up to all the hype, they did not, and that some decisions were made that turned out to be incorrect, some words that those of us, including me, offered up were not correct. Now it's turned into hatred towards vaccines from so many people, Dave, and that's divided us further.
Oh, yeah.
And even on a day when Charlie Kirk, again, you don't have to agree with Charlie Kirk's positions. You just don't have to. But when this is your point to somehow say he's evil or to somehow take joy, you really think this is the way to bring the better angels back to our country? When a person is having a debate on a college campus and this is your moment to be pleased about what happened, that is vile and that is awful.
Yeah, at least Charlie Kirk was willing to have debate. He was outspoken. A lot of people disagreed with some, all, everything, majority of what he said, whatever it is. A lot of people completely had great disdain for his position on a number of issues, but he would be willing to go out there and have a civilized debate to explain himself, to let people explain themselves, to try to convince the other person why they should look at it the other person's way. But we don't do that. You know, not enough people do that. Far from enough people do that, because now we just get to the point where in this country, the partisan divide is there, the ideological divide is there, where if you know somebody is on the other side of you, no matter what they say, sky is blue, doesn't matter, they're wrong, and I will find a way to scream from the rooftop that they're wrong, whether I have actual evidence or not.
Yeah. In fact, we see that constantly in politics, show after show after show, where you used to have access to various politicians who would come on and engage in questions, engage and follow up. You know what they do now? Nah, I'm just going to find a place where it's warm, comfortable, and safe. And that's another part of what Kirk wasn't doing. When Charlie Kirk's going on with Gavin Newsom, you think they're going to agree a lot? When Kirk's going on with Maher, he's going to agree more, but he was willing to do that. And too many of our damn politicians are public political cowards about the debate. Not real cowards, but the political back and forth that should take place, and they end up getting rewarded for it. And I thought that we would have learned our lesson after 9/11 on that. No, because the extremism is extraordinarily higher in our country now than it was then. You want to keep chiming in through the text? You certainly can. 651-461-9226. I'm going to talk right now about my friend Amber Scholl, an American Family, and how helpful they can be. Yep, as I said many times before, when I moved back years ago, I went with this office. This office has been very good to me. Amber was not with the office then. She's been with it 15 years. She's running it now very efficiently the last few years. How do you track down Amber? Through American Family? Yeah, there's a 1-800 American Family number, but it's way better if you have a local office where you have Amber. You have her team, where if you get in a car accident or a tree falls somewhere in the yard or it's hail, whatever it might be with your car and home insurance where there's a problem, or you're just calling and ask, do I have the best rates? That's what you can do when you reach out to TeamScholl.com. It's S-C-H-O-L-L.com. Don't hesitate. Have the conversation. You'll either come away feeling better about the insurance you have or saying, hey, Amber, how can you write up a new program for me because I'm switching to American Family? Track them down. TeamScholl.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Among the comments coming in on 9/11, Chad, I lived in Minnetonka since the mid-80s. One of my most vivid memories of 9/11 was leaving my office around noon, as I literally had no idea to do next at work. But on the way home, I remembered we had a local election on that Tuesday. As I walked into the elementary school, which served as our voting place, it gave me such a feeling of confidence and pride, knowing we were all going to get through this somehow. Even with the recent events, I still embrace that hope. That's a beautiful message, Dave.
Yes, it
is. I want to see more people follow those actions and not give up that hope. Because I think there were so many people, I mean, obviously in the three locations who were running for their lives, or their lives had been ended, or you're wondering what happened to a loved one, a friend. But for those hours on that day, it was, what's next? Is this done? What does this mean to our country? And to have a part of it, Dave, where it's a part of your civic duty, something that's core to who and what we are, I think that's a beautiful day, or a beautiful way to be a part of just a disastrous day, right?
Yeah, absolutely is.
Another one. I was a therapist working at the VA at the time of 9/11. My dad was trying to console hospitalized veterans, many who were World War II soldiers. There were tears and fears on their faces and the minds of veterans because they knew what such a horrific act might portend. Another war. We also had a bomb threat called into the medical center, and I was called in to look for the bomb, even though I had no idea what it looked like. It was a day which, for obvious reasons, will be etched in my memory. I can't fault that person at all. All right, next hour, we're getting back to the rhetoric. We're going to talk about the rhetoric from some of our leaders. Do we think it's going to change? Do we think our rhetoric is going to change? So we're going to talk more about the assassination, the murder, the public murder of Charlie Kirk. But also at the bottom hour, we'll have some fun with Am I Wrong? CBS and Ari coming up next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.